We're holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line. We learned yesterday the Mishnah had started Dine Mamonis B'Shloisha, Gzelos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha, that Dine Mamonis are judged by a base din of three, and Gzelos, where a person steals or grabs away from somebody else, or Chavolos, where he injures him, is also B'Shloisha, is also judged by a base din of three. So we asked, aren't Gzelos V'Chavolos part of Dine Mamonis? Why list them separately? So we had Rabbi Bohu explaining that the words Dine Mamonis B'Shloisha are kind of like a caption. What kind of Dine Mamonis have to be judged by three, namely Gzelos V'Chavolos, as opposed to, we said, Hodois V'Halvois, where a person admits to somebody else that he owes him money in the presence of Edim, or the, where he injures him, then also you need three. And the difference is, we said that according to Rabbi Bohu, the vote would be that in both, that the Mishnah would be saying in both cases, you need three. However, in the case of Hodois V'Halvois, you don't need three smuchim, mumchim, as the Gemara calls them, and by Gzelos V'Chavolos, you do. They have to have smicha ish mipiish from Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to judge that. And we've said that Minat Torah, there wouldn't have been that distinction. Minat Torah, both cases would require mumchin. But we said, Shalitinil Delos, Mifnei Loivin, in order not to lock out potential borrowers, because a person is going to say, listen, you know, if I'm going to lend you money and then the case has to come to Beis Din, if we have to have mumchin, then it's not going to be, it may not be so easy to find them. And therefore, and you're going to evade paying. And I don't want that. So therefore, I don't want to lend you in the first place. So therefore, so we said, the same way as Minat Torah, you would need Durisha V'Chakira, you would have to cross examine the Edim very thoroughly, whether by Dinin Mominus or Dinin Nefashis, but the Chachamim relax that regulation by Dinin Mominus for the same reason. So now the Gemara is saying the same thing would be as far as that certain Dinin Mominus, Hodois can be judged by a Beis Din of three Hedyotis. So Tosfos points out the point as follows. In other words, when it comes to exactly that, when it comes to Gzelos V'Chavolos, we would say that the reason why why do we insist on Mumchim? So the fact is, the Gazlan knows that just because there are no Mumchim available over here, but he knows the other guy was badly wronged. He was injured. He was stolen from or whatever. Therefore, he's going to go look and find Mumchim. And therefore, the fact that there aren't the fact that we require mumchim is not going to is a is with the fact that we require mumchim is not going to make a person say, well, you know what? Since there's no mumchim, I'm going to be able to get away with Gzelos V'Chavolos. It's not going to be like that. He's going to figure to himself that nevertheless, the guy, the nigzal or the nechbal, the victim, might in fact find mumchim. So this actually gets into the question of what kinds of cases do bati dinim nowadays, when there's no mumchim at all, what kind do they have jurisdiction over? So definitely hodois v'halvois so far. Well, so actually, so part of the question is going to be whether in fact the halacha is like Rav Bahu. So let's continue with the sugya, and then we'll talk about Bes Hashem soon, what the deal is with that, what kinds of cases are based in able to judge nowadays. Anyway, so the Gemara first asks, Elamayata, by that logic, if you're telling me that we want to avoid Shalatino Delos Mifne Lovin, so in that case, we should have the rule that if it was a Beis Din of three Hedyotis that judged Tohu and they made a mistake in Halacha, Lo Yishalmu, they shouldn't be obligated to pay. Later on in the Masechta, in the third parak, we're going to be dealing in detail with the Dinim, what happens when a Dayan makes a mistake in Halacha. Or Dayan, or individual Dayan, or Beis Din, whatever, makes a mistake in Halacha. There's different kinds of mistakes, as we'll learn about there, and there are some times when he has what they call lahavdil in the American legal system, judicial immunity, that basically he's functioning as a judge, and therefore he's immune from being sued or being made to pay for his wrong judgment. Other times we say that not. Part of the distinction is whether he's a mumcha or not. If they're hedyotis, if they're regular people who don't have the smicha ish mipiish, then there are times when they're going to actually pay for their wrong judgment. Well, if we're allowing them to judge, then why don't we also give them that judicial immunity and say that they shouldn't have to pay for their mistakes? So Tohu lo yishalmu, and the answer is kol shekein not to noil delos b'fnei loivin. You do that, then all the more so you're going to be closing the door in front of borrowers because people are going to say, why should I, even more so, why should I bother lending you money And then the case is going to be judged by a Beis Din of Hedyotis. And if they make a mistake and they incorrectly say that you don't owe me the money, then I have no recourse. So then I don't want to do that. So then I don't want to lend you in the first place. But to avoid that kind of issue is we aren't going to give them that judicial immunity. And that way the Malva will be more willing to lend. Fine. All we have is a Beis Din of Hedyotis, but at least if they make a mistake, there will be recourse. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out, then what's the Kolshkin doing over there? So rather, Tosfos explains that what it means is like this: once you're concerned about Ne'ilas Delas, then the problem is, well, then so what are we saying? That if a Beis Din of Hedyotis sits and they make a mistake in halacha, they're going to have to pay. Well, then that's going to dissuade themselves from sitting as a Beis Din. Then we're going to say anytime we want to get together a Beis Din of three to deal with Dinim Mamonos, to deal with Hedyotis Halvos, they're going to say, but wait a minute, if we make a mistake, then we're on the hook to pay. So then we don't want to bother sitting in the first place for it, and then you're going to even more so have Noel Dulles with Neloven, because there's not going to be Bote Dinim available. So the answer is that we're saying. That it's true. They might not want to, but nevertheless, the answer is that because we're gonna put them on the hook. Because they're gonna be on the hook, so fine. They may not be willing to sit in the first place. But on the other hand, if we're able to get them to, then it means without that, requiring mumchim would be worse, because then you're gonna be noel delos bifnei loivin. Mind you, Tosfos also mentions later on, when we get to the sugya of the Dayanim paying for the mistakes, there was an opinion that the Dayan is chayev only if he actually took the money physically from one and gave it to the other. So in that case, Tosfos points out, it's very easy for the Dayanim to avoid that kind of consequence. Just make sure you don't do that. But there are different opinions about that in the Gemara over there, and our Gemara, according to Tosfos' understanding of the question, is going according to the opinions there that you don't need that, that even just the fact that he said, you plony are chayev, you plony are zakai, might be enough to trigger that he's now chayev to pay for his mistake, and therefore our Gemara is going according to that possibility. So all of that is Rav Abahu's opinion. So in short, Rav Abahu understands our Mishnah. Dinim Mamonos B'Shloisha is a general statement, and then Gzeilus V'Chavolus is specifically what do we mean by Dinim Mamonos? Namely, Gzeilus V'Chavolus have to be judged by a Beis Din of Smuchim, as opposed to Hedyotis V'Halvos are able to be judged by a Beis Din of Hedyotis. So what does that mean in terms of nowadays, in terms of Bote Dinim judging cases? So on the face of it, it means so far we're saying that Gzeilus V'Chavolus require a Beis Din of Smuchim. And now Tosfos points out we know that there was no smicha in Bavel, even back when they had the smicha Ish Mipiyish, it didn't take place in Bavel, as we're going to learn later on in the parak about the details of the dinim of smicha. So the Bote Dinim in Bavel never had that, and yet we find in various places where they did judge dinim of Gzeilus and Chavolus in Bavel. So how does that work? So Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. One of them being that when we say gzeilus v'chavolus, maybe we mean gzeilus sha'al yedei chavolus, meaning where a person injured somebody else and stole something from him. Then we would say that's an unusual kind of thing, and for that you need smuchim. Maybe Rav Abahu doesn't mean that one of them individually by themselves. You need a Beis Din of smuchim, of mumchim. Maybe not. Maybe even a Beis Din of non-smuchim could judge that. Another point Tosfos says is that in those cases that we find in the various Gemaras, maybe it wasn't. They're not to begin with saying that. They're not saying to begin with, we judge that you, the mazik, are guilty and you have to pay such and such. But rather, we're talking about, for example, that he was Tofus, that he already had something of his of the of the so 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 either he had been toifus, and now the question is, does he have to return it, or can he keep it in payment of it? Or, for example, that he's saying that based on what we decide over here, we're based on what the local basin decides, we're going to have to go to Eretz Yisrael, where they still had smuchim, and have the case fully judged over there, and then depending on what the basin in Bavel finds, we may require the mazik to go there or not. So those are a couple of possibilities. Then there's a lot of other possibilities that Rishonim bring up, because also there's a relevant Gemara in Bava Kama that says that that we who don't have smicha avdinin shlichu saihu, we are acting as shluchim on behalf of the chachamim who do have smicha. So we have to figure out to what extent do we, our bati dinim nowadays, have that power that's delegated to them by the bati dinim that had smicha. So you have two explanations here in Tosfos so far. One being that he was toifus or something like that, and therefore the question is, now that he grabbed the thing to satisfy the obligation, to satisfy the debt that the other guy owes him for stealing from him or from injuring him, does he have to return it, or can he keep it in satisfaction of that? Or that, again, we're talking about Xelus Sha'al Yedei Chabolos. So in that case, we would say, according to the first explanation, we would say, in other words, that we never have the Bati Dinim who are smuchim, never give the Bati Dinim who are not the power to rule over Xelus Chabolos. According to the second explanation, they do, but only when it's a Xela by itself or a Chavala by itself, not where it's both of them. Then you have different other explanations. The Ra'or and the Nemuka Yosef say that again, we as we learned yesterday, really the actual meaning of the word Gzela is to grab something out of somebody's hand. That's not very common. So that kind of thing is the kind that based in without smicha cannot judge, but where it's a more common type of gzela. For example, Rashi had mentioned on the Mishnah that you have shlichus yad, where a person is watching a pikadon and then decides to take it for himself. That's more common, and that kind any based in could judge. Then you have the Rambam saying that Beistin can judge all cases of stealing of Gneva or Gzela. All they can't do is impose the punishment of Kefil, Tashlama Kefil, or Tashlama Bava Chamisha, because those are a Knas, and the Bati Dinim don't, without Smicha, don't have the ability to collect Knas. So there's a number of different possibilities that the Rishonim are bringing up in terms of what kinds of cases nowadays are Beistin empowered to deal with when we don't have the Smicha. One thing is, though, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch, even in the cases where they don't necessarily have jurisdiction, nevertheless, they're obligated to do something in order to, otherwise people are just going to rob and steal and whatever from each other with impunity. So they have the ability to impose various kinds of sanctions against people who do these things and pressure them into paying. Anyway, so all of that was Rabbo's explanation of the Mishnah. However, the Gemara is bothered. Ihochi tauti katani. In that case, though, if you explain the Mishnah the way Rav Abahu said it, the problem is that the problem is why do we have to understand? So, what is Rav Abahu saying? Dinim mamonis b'shloisha is like an introductory phrase, and then gzeilus v'chabolos is explaining what we mean. The fact is, the Mishnah tauti katani. The Mishnah seems to be saying them as two separate dinim. Dinim mamonis b'shloisha. Hediotis, that dinim mamonis can be judged by three, and that means even if the three are hediotis, and gzeilus v'chabolos b'shloisha mumchim, and gzeilus v'chabolos require three mumchim. So why explain that the Mishnah is so? Rav Bo is saying the Mishnah is implying that certain dinim mamonis can be judged by three hediotis, but it doesn't say so explicitly. We have to infer it. So why? Why shouldn't we say that? The Mishnah is saying straight out, dine mominus of certain kinds, b'shloisha, can be judged by three hediotis. And gzeilus v'chavolus have to be judged by shloisha mumchim. So why not understand the Mishnah that way? V'oid shloisha shloisha lomali. And also, why would it repeat the word shloisha twice? Why not say dinim mominus, gzeilus v'chavolus, b'shloisha? And we would understand that dinim mominus is a general statement and gzeilus v'chavolus is the specific within it. Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says, fine, Tarki Katani, fine. We can parse the Mishnah a little bit differently than Rabba Bohu did. Mishum de Rab Chanina, but we can still apply what Rab Chanina said that we learned yesterday, that Minatora Dinim Mominus would also require all kinds would also require three mumchim, and only when it comes to Hoidos Valvois to the Chachamim not require that Kadesh Leitinal Delos Bifne Loivin. So fine, we can basically keep Rabbi Bohu's understanding and say that the Mishnah is drawing a distinction between Hoidos v'halvois on the one hand and Gzelus v'chavolos on the other, but to understand the Mishnah a little differently than Rabbi Bohu did. Not that Dinim Mominus is a caption and then Gzelus v'chavolos explains it, but rather yet that the Mishnah is distinguishing between Dinim Mominus of a certain type, namely Hoidos v'halvois versus Gzelus v'chavolos. But other than that, the Din would be the same thing, that one type requires mumchim and the other one doesn't. All right. On the other hand, Rav Acha Breidin of Ika Omer. Now, all of this depends on the following points. Rava is saying that Midaraisa and Rav Abahu are saying Midaraisa, you always need three dayonim, and Minatora, you would have actually needed them all to be mumchim. But Midarabanan, in certain cases, Kadesh Latino Delos, then we're going to remove the requirement for mumchim, but we're still going to keep the requirement for three. Now, the Gemara continues. Actually, Midaraisa, even one dayan by itself would be kosher. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, but tzedek tishbet amisecha, with righteousness, you should judge your fellow yid, and tishbet is loshen yachid, meaning that it would be good enough for one individual dayan to judge the case. Minatora. Minatora, you don't need three dayonim, and that means, in other words, so unlike what we've been now. So Rashi explains that. Rashi explains like this. Before, we talked about yesterday the point about Iruv Paushius, the question being whether there's a when the Torah mentions in the middle of the dinim of the Shomer, when it talks about the idea that when it mentions the words Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh, that he says, this is it, meaning, in other words, this is it that I owe, and no more than that. We discussed yesterday the point, is there Iruv Parshias over here? Is that Pasuk still referring to a Shomer and saying that a Shomer is Chayev the Shavur, that it says there in the Pesukim, only if he's Moedim Mitzas? Or do we say that, no, he's Chayev regardless, and that the words Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh are actually referring to a different case, namely, namely a regular case of loiva and malva where there's moedim mikzas. So if we say Iruv Parshias Kosav Tan, then it means, in other words, that the fact that the Pasuk mentions three times, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that the fact that it says three times Elikim, which means Dayonim, means that you need three Dayonim, and it means the word Elikim means the experts, meaning therefore Mumchim, the ones who have Smicha. So if we say Iruv Parshias Kosav Tan, then it means that that applies equally well to Hoidois and Halvois, to any kind of dinim mominus, whether we're talking about a shomer or whether we're talking about a halva. So before we said that, there is Iruv Parshias, and therefore that concept that you need three dayanim applies to both, but again, that the Chachamim kept the requirement for three dayanim but removed the requirement for mumchim. Now, according to Rashi, Rav Acha Breda Rav Ikka is saying that no, there's no Iruv Parshias. Those words, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh, are referring indeed to the Shomer. So there's nothing in the Pasuk itself indicating that when it comes to Hoidos and Halvois, you should need a Beis Din of three, because the Pesukim are not talking about that. So Midaraisa, therefore, you would need only one. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that Rav Acha Breidin of Ikka doesn't need the Pasuk, but Tzedek Tishbet Amisecha. So rather, Tosfos says that no, it doesn't really matter whether you say Iruv Parshias or not. Either way, based on the Pasuk, but Tzedek Tishbet Amisecha, Rav Acha Breidin of Ikka is saying that you need only one Dayan. Anyway, Ela Mishum Yoshve Kronos. However, says Rav Acha, the reason why we require three dayanim is because of Yoshve Kronos. Rashi explains, now like this, you know, we have in the Siyum, Shalosh Santa Chokenim, Yoshve Kronos. Rashi explains over here in another place, and similarly in other places in Shas, where the word Yoshev Kronos is used, doesn't mean literally Yoshev Kronos means people who sit by the corners. So it could be understood to mean later gayers, people who are not doing anything useful at all. Rashi explains actually that it doesn't mean that. It means tagrim. It means merchants. These are people, they are buying and selling, they're storekeepers, they are doing business, but they're not necessarily so expert in the dinim. So what's going to happen? You're going to have one of them judge a case, and he doesn't know all the ins and outs of the dinim, and he's going to end up paskening wrongly. So because of that is why the Chachamim made it that in these cases, you need three dayanim. But Minat Torah, one would have been enough. Rabbi Chananel has a different understanding of Yoshev Kronos, like we have Arba Kanfei Sa'aretz. We talk about the four corners of the earth, meaning, in other words, that people are spread out all over the place. So the idea is, in other words, people are not necessarily in all places in the world. People are not so expert in the dinim, and therefore, so you have some places where there's no mumchim at all. So therefore, the Chacham said, we don't want a basin of, we don't want a we don't want one person who's not a mumcha to sit on a basin. We need three. Well, the Gemara asks, ultimate philosophy, Hayavi Yoshev Kronos, and how does it help if we have three? Still, they're all going to be Yoshev Kronos. And the answer is, EF should less will chad de gomer. Fine, but inevitably there's going to be among those three, there's going to be one of them who has learned the dinim. Rashi says he heard from the chachamim and from the dayanim, the halachas of the din of a malva, and therefore he's expert enough, he knows enough to be able to judge such cases. Interesting thing, you see over here that the Gemara can take it as a given, according to this opinion anyway, that you take any random three Jews and you're going to find one of them as an expert in halacha, or at least expert enough to be able to sit on a base din. It's very, very high compliment to the level of learning among to the devotion of to learning Torah that you have even among the Balei Esek. But there actually does end up being a machloikas rishonim, whether in fact in the end you're going to require, based on this, that it's enough for one of them to be knowledgeable in the halacha, or do you have that when you have a beis din that's not mumchim, do you need that all three of them are going to be familiar with the halachas? Machloikas rishonim on that point. So that's another way of looking at it. So again, according to Rav Acha, Breder of Ikka, the point is midaraisa, you didn't need three, but midarabanan you do, because the three might be Yoshev Kronos, but among those three, there'll be at least one of them who's knowledgeable. So the Gemara asks, Elamei Ata Tola Yishalmu, the same question as we had earlier. If we're giving them permission to judge, then why don't we give them judicial immunity? Why don't we say that if they made a mistake in halacha, then they don't have to pay? And the answer is, again, Kol Shekein Din Ufishi Yoshev Kronos, then that's just going to make things worse. Then you're going to have more people who figure, we can just be Yoshev Kronos, we don't have to bother learning the halachas, because even if we make a mistake, we still got judicial immunity. So therefore the Chachamim do want to strike a balance over here. On the one hand, we need bate dinim, even in places where there's no smukim, to be able to judge dinim mamanas. But on the other hand, we don't just want that any later gay or any person is going to come and put himself forward as a candidate for it. So therefore, we want to make sure that they are on the hook in case they make a mistake in halacha. And therefore we're going to make them pay. So this way, in other words, as Tosfos says, they'll learn the halachas, and that way they won't make mistakes, and that way they won't be on the hook to pay in the first place. All right, so the bottom line so far is that when it comes to dinim mamonos, regardless, according to both ways of looking at it, we do need to have a beis din of three, and they don't have to be smuchim, at least in certain cases of dinim mamonos. So the Gemara asks, "My ikka ben Rava, lo Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav Ikka." So what's the practical difference between Rava's understanding of our Mishnah, namely that the Mishnah was saying dinim mamonos b'shloisha refers to one type of dinim mamonos, hodos v'halvos. Gzeilus v'chavolus b'shloisha refers to a different type, stealing, robbing, whatever, and injuring. Versus Rav Acha Breder of Ikka's understanding that the Mishnah is saying that dinim mamonos b'shloisha means that all dinim mamonos require three, and within them gzeilus v'chavolus b'shloisha means that they require smuchim. But in other words, that the fact that dinim mamonos b'shloisha is dirabanan, because daraisa would have been enough to have one as long as he's a mumcha. Either way, though, they're both saying that you need three. So what's the practical difference? And the answer is Ikka b'nayu d'omar Shmuel. The argument between Rava and Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka would be whether we accept what Shmuel says. D'omar Shmuel, shnayim shadonu. Shmuel says if two people judge a din Torah, dinehen din, then their din Torah is b'diyevet a valid din Torah. Elashaniku based in chotzuf, but we call them a chutz b'tikka based in because they were over on the takana of the chachamim to have three. So basically the machlokas is, do we accept what Shmuel is saying? Rava disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel is saying that you could have two, and even Drabbanan b'diyevet it'll be valid. But Rava doesn't accept that, and Rava learns that minatoda you need three in all cases. As opposed to Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka accepts what Shmuel is saying, and therefore says that therefore if they've been d'yevid, they went and judged with two, then it is valid. Who is the halacha like? Tosfos brings from the Bahag, the halachas gdolos from Rabbi Hadori Goin, who holds like Shmuel that b'diyeved you could have two who judge and it's acceptable. And Tosfos brings Tosfos brings from other Gemaras that are relevant to this, according to Tosfos, then the halacha would in fact be that the halacha would in fact be like Shmuel, and there were various proofs for it from the Gemara. On the other hand, we have further on in the Perek a number of other Amiroyim disagree with Shmuel. Here we're saying that Rava disagrees with him. Later in the Perek, we're also going to have different opinions of Amiroyim on the subject. So the Rif Paskins, not like Shmuel, you always must have a Beis Din of three, and the Psak Din of a Beis Din of two would be possible. The Rambam actually says that the Rambam actually takes a middle view. The Rambam says that one Dayan would be valid b'diyeved, which is why, you know, we have in all the stories, you have the Rav Paskin such and such. He's not always in paneling a Beis Din, because sometimes a Rav, even though he doesn't have smicha ish mipiyish nowadays, as long as the Balei Din accept him, that he'll judge our case, then one would be enough, the Rambam Paskins. But on the other hand, he says that two are not. So Rishonim discuss why that is. One answer is exactly that. The Chachamim might say, fine, we'll accept Shmuel's din. We'll accept what Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka is saying, that midaraisa one is enough, because b'tzedek tishpat amisacha. But once you have two already, then we don't know whether either of them is a mumcha. And therefore, we're not even a mumcha because we don't have smicha, but whether either of them is expert enough to be the gemiri, as the Gemara is saying over here, that they're knowledgeable enough in the halachas, and therefore that two would be no good. So basically what we have there, the final halacha in Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rif and the Rambam. So you have like this, if they accept this Beis Din on themselves, that to begin with they say we're willing to abide by whatever the Beis Din says, then fine, it would be kosher with one dayan. And also if the dayan is a mumcha, if he has smicha ish mipiyish. But other than that you would need three, and when you have three, then it doesn't matter whether they accepted it on themselves or not. Either way the din is a din. Next, the Mishnah had said, Nezek v'chatzi nezek v'chola. The Mishnah had said, other cases that require a Beis Din of three is nezek and chatzi nezek. So the Gemara asks, nezek hainu chavolis. Isn't nezek a part of chavolis? After all, we're assuming that, after all, when a person injures somebody else, as we learned from Bava Kama, you have five payments that have to be made. Nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. And nezek is first on the list. So nezek is part of chavolis. Why single it out? So Rashi explains that. So exactly that. In other words, where do we draw the line between nezek and chavolis? So the answer is mishum de kaboyla mister chatzin nezek. Sure, but the Mishnah wants to continue. Tosfos, by the way, Tosfos points out that when we say nezek hainu chavolis, we're not talking about where a shur injures a person, but rather we're talking about where the Gemara is assuming that we mean over here where a person injures a person. And Tosfos again discusses the question: which of those cases are we able to judge in Bavel, again, where there's no smicha, or nowadays anywhere in the world where there's no smicha? Again, subject to that whole discussion that we said before about what cases does Beis Din have and does not have jurisdiction over nowadays when there's no smicha? Then you have the different opinions of Rishonim, as we were talking about before, what they're able to judge with the limited. With the limited kind of smicha that we have nowadays. The kind of smicha we have nowadays is not the smicha ish mi piyish, of course. It's really called hatoras hayrah, their permission to be able to judge. But what exactly are they able to judge? So as we discussed, it may be only things that are usual and common and so on and so forth. Anyway. So again, the question was that Nezek and Chavolos seem to be Nezek as part of Chavolos. So the answer is Mishum de Kaboy Lamista Chatzi Nezek. Tonanami Nezek Shalem. Fine, but because the Mishnah wants to mention the case of Chatzi Nezek and say that that has to be judged by a Beis Din of three, so therefore, by the way, it mentions Nezek Shalem as well. Well, the question is Chatzi Nezek Nami Hainu Chavolos. Nu, and Chatzi Nezek, let's say, for example, one example of Chatzi Nezek is where a sure tam injures somebody, and a sure tam you're paying only chatzi nezek. So we have already an example of. So again, the Mishnah could have just said nezek and chatzi nezek, not mention chavolos as well, and or the other way around. It could say chavolos, and we understand. It means anything that comes out of the chavala, including full nezek if it was a sure muad or a person, and chatzi nezek if it was a sure tam. The answer is no. Because the Mishnah wanted to draw a distinction between a payment which is mamon versus a payment which is a knas. Mamon is where you're paying the actual amount of the damage. Versus knas, as we talked about yesterday, is where you're paying a different amount, whether it's a fixed amount that the Torah says, for example, 30 sloyim for an shor killing an eved, or 50 sloyim for an onus or mafata, etc. Those are all examples of knas, or where the Torah is saying to pay more or less than the actual amount of the damage, chatzi nezek is less, tashlumei kefil and tashlumei bava chamisha would be more. All of those things go under the general heading of knas, and so we're saying the Mishnah wants to distinguish between one type of payment and the other, chatzi nezek being a knas. Well, the question is, not everybody agrees to that. That works according to the opinion that the concept of chatzi nezek for a sure tam is a knas. But according to the opinion that it's a payment of mamon, then what are you going to say? So it's like this. In Bava Kamma, you have the question basically is, like this, we know when a shur gores three times, then it becomes a muad. What happens before that at the time? The question is, why are we saying that when the shur is a tam, you're paying only chatzi nezek? Is it that fundamentally we should expect to begin with that the shur is going to cause damage, but because the first couple of times it hasn't yet gotten used to it, so therefore the Torah gives you a break and says that so according to the opinion, it's a machlokas of Huna Rav Papa and of Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. So really, in other words, so according to Rav Papa's way of looking at it, Halganiska Mamona means that we say that that fundamentally oxen are not usually the type to gore and injure or kill. So it's really the first two times he ought to be potter completely. The other way around, Rav Papa is saying, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says, Palganiska Knossa. He says, basically, your average shur is not injurious. So therefore, Minat Torah, really the logic should be the first two times, it should be completely potter. It should be an onus. But the Torah penalizes you and makes you pay chatzi nezek so that you'll have an incentive in the future to watch this shur. So according to that way of looking at it, really, you should have been potter, but it's only a knas. The other way of looking at it, Rav Papa's way, is that no, oxen usually are dangerous naturally. So therefore, really you should have been chayv to pay the whole thing from the beginning. What do you mean? You didn't know your shur was dangerous. All shvarim we assume are dangerous. But because it was the first one or two times and you didn't know, therefore the Torah gives you a break and reduces the amount you have to pay. So then according to that, it would come out, Palga Niskuk Mamoina, it would come out when you're paying chatzi nezek is actually an example of Mamoin, because really you should have paid the whole thing and the Torah is just reducing it. Again, as opposed to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, that it's the other way around, really you should have had to pay nothing and the Torah is penalizing you. Well, so if you say palganizka knosa, if you say that the chatzin nezek is a knas, then good. The Mishnah is mentioning nezek sholem, which is mammon, and chatzin nezek, which is knas. But if you say both of them are mammon, as Rav Papa does, then ma'ikul meimar, then what are you going to say? Why is the Mishnah mentioning them separately? Okay, so the answer is Ella. I did a kaboy lemista tashlumi kefil, but tashlumi above a chamisha. The fact is, the Mishnah is going to go on to mention the cases where ganav pays extra, where he pays double or four or five times as much. Now that is not the kind you're not paying the actual amount of the keren. So chatzin nezek, you're paying less, but these cases you're paying more. Mishtalim berosh literally means paying at the head, meaning paying the actual original amount. The expression is taken from a pasuk for shilam oseh beroshay. So once the Mishnah has to mention that tonanami chatzin nezek. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentions chatzin nezek demam and shein mishtalim beroshu, which is also a case where you're not paying the full amount. Fine, even if we say chatzin nezek is mammon, tashlumei kefil and tashlumei above chamisha are definitely knas. But even if you say chatzin nezek is not in the same category, fine, it does have this in common with them that you're paying a different amount than the actual amount of the loss. So therefore, so the Mishnah would have reason to mention it separately, even if we say that it's mammon. And once the Mishnah wants to mention chatzin nezek, tonanami nezek, so it mentions nezek as well, even though it's strictly unnecessary, because again, nezek could be folded into chavolos. So in other words, the flow of the Mishnah would be going from the end to the beginning, kind of. We want to mention tashlumei kefil and tashlumei above chamisha. Therefore, together with them, we mention chatzin nezek. And once we mention it, chatzin nezek, then we mention nezek. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah is mentioning all of that without just folding it all into chavolos, because tashlumei kefil and tashlumei above chamisha definitely have to be mentioned. Being a knas, chatzin nezek may or may not have to have been mentioned, whether it's a knas or not. But either way, it's a different amount of payment, and therefore, along with it goes nezek. So now the ones that are knas definitely can be judged only by a beis din of smuchim, like we talked about before. The ones that are not knas, then that's subject to the whole machlokas we've shown him before about gzeilus v'chavolos. What are bote dinim nowadays empowered to judge and whatnot? So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions So the Mechaber brings that if a person injures somebody else, then based in without smuchim are able to collect most of the payments. They can't collect nezek or tsar or pgam or boshes or koifer. They could collect shevas and ripui because those are direct things that the person lost out from. That he was off work for a while and that he has doctor's bills. And the Ramah brings that even though the Beis Din doesn't have the ability to collect those, all they can do is they can penalize the mazik however they see fit and force him to pay up. And then in Shulchan Aruch it goes on to talk about that when an animal injures a person, then again that's something unusual. So therefore, so a Beis Din outside Eretz Yisrael, a Beis Din without smicha can't collect that. However, if a person injures somebody else's shur, or vice versa, if a person injures somebody else's shur, or if the shur itself is mazik with shein v'regel by eating or trampling things, those kinds of things are dover matzui, and therefore any Beis Din can judge those. Again, even in all the cases where they can't judge, they do have the ability to put the guy in cheirim and to impose other kinds of pressures on him to force him to pay up to pay up a fair amount. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, okay, so far that covers then a number of the cases of dinim mominis that the Mishnah, so that covers the cases of dinim mominis that the Mishnah had mentioned require a beis din of three. The rest of the cases that we talk about involving three, then we'll deal with them later. We'll deal with them later in the parak. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, shlosha menolon. So all this time we've been saying three dayonim, whether according to Rav Abahu and Rava, always midaraisi, you need three dayonim, or whether according to Rav Acha Breda of Ikka, midrabanan, we need three. But if we say that you need three, then if you say you need three midaraisa, where are we getting that from? So the Tanan Rabbanan, we learn a braisa like this. When it says regarding a shomer, where the shomer claims that the object that he was watching has been stolen, v'nikra balabayis el ha'lekim, the balabayis, the shomer, comes el ha'lekim. So elikim means the powerful one, so therefore it refers to the dayanim. So far that the word elikim means one dayan. The word elikim is in plural form, but nevertheless, we often find that Rashi mentions that there are often words regarding power and regarding authority and whatever that are construed in the plural. You have elikim, you have bailim, you have other examples like that. So the word elikim by itself means so far one dayan. Then the pasuk continues, ad ha lekim yavad dvar shneim. The pasuk continues that the case between them, between the shomer and the owner of the object, comes to elikim, harei kan shneim, so there's your second dayan. And then the pasuk finishes off, ashor yashiun elikim, that the one whom elikim find guilty, again, that the dayanim find guilty, is going to pay shneim. So the case is, the shomer claims that the object he was watching was stolen, and it turns out that he himself took it for himself, then he's paying kafel. So when Elikim finds him guilty, then he pays double. Harekan Shlosha, so there's your third dayan. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, so Rabbi Yoshia says that's how you learn three dayanim, because there's three times Elikim in the Psukim. Oh, by the way, Bala Torah mentions in other Psukim, you have the Pasuk Shoftim B'Shoitrim, has three times the Shoda Shofat, and it's Shoftim B'Shoitrim, Titin Locham B'chol Sharecha, B'Shoftu Esa'am, Mishpat Tzedek. So he says there's another remez to three Dayanim, but here the Gemara is using the fact that it says Elikim three times in these Psukim. Okay, so that's according to Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan says no. Rishon Tchila Nemar. No, the first time it says Elikim, being that it's the first time that says it, then you can't learn from it. The Ein Darshin Tchilas, because you cannot darshin the first time that it says it in the pasuk, because that's needed basically the gufoy. We need that to tell us that you need mumchim in the first place. The definition of Elikim means dayonim who are mumchim, who have the smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Rabbi Yonasan says, you can't learn from that also that you the number of dayanim you do. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains, as the Gemara is going to get into a discussion soon of this matter of Ein Darshin Tchilas, Tosfos explains that it means when you're trying to count a number, then you can't use the first one. According to Rabbi Yonasan, you can't use the first one to derive the number. You have to leave that one out. You can otherwise darshan from it. According to Rashi, you can't darshan from it at all. But according to Tosfos' understanding of Rabbi Yonasan, sure, you can darshan from it, but you can't say from it a number of dayanim. So you can't use that towards the number. Anyway, Ella, so Rabbi Yonasan says, how do we learn it? When the pasuk says, ad ha lekim yavad dvar shneihem, again, let's focus on, forget about the first one, because that one we're not darshaning from, but you have the pasuk that the case comes to a lekim, harei kan echod, so you have one dayan, asher yashirun lekim harei kan shneihem. When the pasuk continues, the one whom lekim find guilty pays double, there's your second, and Rabbi Yonasan says, at that point, I don't need a third time Elikim to be able to darshan from in the pasuk, because already at this point, if you have two dayanim, listen, ein based in shokel, you can't have an even numbered based in, because then they're going to end up getting deadlocked. Therefore, you have to add a third dayan, harei kan shlosha, so you're getting to three regardless, even without having three times. Three times Elikim in the pasuk. Nevertheless, it's good enough to we have two, and then automatically based on that we're going to add a third one. So the Gemara asks, Nema b'Darshin Tchilas Kamiflagi. Well, do we have to say that that's the exact machlokas between them? Whether any time that we have where the pasuk is repeating a phrase again and again, and we're meant to learn a number from that repetition, are we saying that there's a general machlokas about that? Demar Sover of Yoshia holds Darshin Tchilas. You can always darshin even the first one that's mentioned. Omar Sava in Darshin Tchilas, whereas Rabbi Yonasan would hold in general that you can't. So is that the machlokas? Where again, according to Rashi, you can never Darshin Tchilas at all, because we need it legufoy. We need it basically to tell us the basic concept. And according to Tosfos, fine, we could Darshin something from it. We just can't use it. The Gemara is saying that maybe it would mean that we can't use it towards counting the number. So there is also the point in this regard. Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yoshia could answer that then the pasuk didn't have to say the word Elikim at the beginning. It could have said Elashoyfet. It could have said you go to the judge. So therefore, we're going to say yes. The fact that it says alikim means you can daushen something from it. You just can't use it towards the number. Anyway, so is that the machlokes? So the answer is loy de kolama ein doshin tchilas. No, we can say that both of them agree that ein doshin tchilas. You can't daushen from the first time to count it towards the number. But the omalach Rabbi Yoshia, but Rabbi Yoshia said here it's different. Because exactly like Tosfos had just said, the pasuk could say that the balabayas comes to the judge. Why use the word alekim rather than the word shofet? My Eloi Elikim Laminyana. So when it says Elikim, Shmamina Laminyana. So when it says Elikim, means you can derive from that that it means also that you're meant to count it towards the number. So therefore, so Rabbi Yoshia says you actually do have in usually Ein Doshin Tchilas, but here, since the Pasuk, instead of using Shofet, use the word Elikim, then therefore that means that you can count it towards the total, and therefore you end up with three that the pasuk is clearly saying, and you don't need Rabbi Yonis and Svara that the Beis Din can't be evenly numbered. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan, what about Rabbi Yonasan? Why does he disagree with that? Because he says, Lishan about Almondakat, because the Torah is using the regular phrasing that people do. Kedamri Inchi, people have the expression, Mandi Isle Dina, a person who has a Din Torah, Likra Vagabi Dayana, should go in front of a Dayan, meaning a Dena, and specifically a Dayan Mumcha. You want to go to an expert based in. So therefore, you want to go to an expert Dayan or based in. So you could say the Pasuk uses the word Elikim just in that vein, that the Nikra Balabayas Elikim. You're going to go to Beis Din. You might as well go to Elikim, to the most expert Beis Din that's available. So therefore, Rabbi Yonason is going to say, still, you can't learn from that that it means that that's already one, and then you're going to learn from it, and then you're going to continue and count from there, a second and a third. But rather, you have to leave that one out because that's just the style that people say that you go in front of that you go in front of the expert based in. So now the Maharam Shif points out that, listen, you know, as it is, it says Elikim in the following psukim, so it's clear that you'd need smuchim anyway, so you could say that it says Elikim the first time also to count towards the number of smuchim, or you could say, as Rabbi Yonasan is saying, that it's just a figure of speech. All right. So fine. So far what we have is Rabbi Yoshia says that it says three times in the pasuk, and Rabbi Yonasan says one of them we have to discount, and we only have two. And therefore we have two. And then once you have two, then you need three, because you can't have an even numbered Beis Din. So the question is, why does Rabbi Yoshia need three times in the pasuk? Rabbi Yoshia less lay the Beis Din Noita. Does Rabbi Yoshia not agree that you need to have a Beis Din that inclines, a Beis Din that's able to lean in one direction or the other, meaning an odd number, so that you don't have a tie? V'hatanya, Rabbi Eliezer b'noi shu Rabbi Yosef Haglili Omer. Don't we learn in a braisa? Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef Haglili, says, "Ma tamad lema lintos achri rabim lahatas." What does the pasuk mean? We mentioned the pasuk yesterday, achri rabim lahatas, that you have to follow the majority. But before those words, it says in the pasuk, "Lintos," to incline. So what does that mean? Atoda omra aselacha based in noita means the Torah is telling you make a based in that's able to incline in all cases. Meaning you should always have a based in of an unbalanced number, of an odd number. So that you don't end up with a tie. So therefore, it means that minatoda you need. Now, of course, the Maharam points out, look, Rabbi Yoshi has a Tana. Of course, he could argue with the Braisa, but what is he going to do with that word lintos in the Pasuk? So the Gemara assumes that he agrees with this concept that a Beis Din always has to be an odd number. So in that case, why does he have to have three times in the Pasuk that it says Elikim and use all three of them for the Darasha, rather than saying that it means two, like Rabbi Yonasan, and then we add a third in order to, because the Torah is insisting that we have an odd numbered Beis Din. The answer is Sava like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is Rabbi Yoshia would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amah Shivim, Rabbi Yehuda says, as we said in our Mishnah, that the Sanhedrin Gdola consists of 70, which is an even number. So therefore, according to him, he disagrees with that Dirasha and says that in fact, that in fact it's not necessary. I mean, a Torah to have an odd numbered base, then it would be perfectly fine to have an even number. So what is Rabbi Yoshiya doing with the words lintas achar amlahatas? The Gemara will deal with that later. But meanwhile, we can say yes. I mean, a Torah, Rabbi Yoshiya says it would be fine to have an even numbered base. Therefore, if it only said two times in the psukim the word elikim from which we can darsh in the number of dayanim, then we'd have only an even numbered base. So therefore, we actually need the third one in order to make it an odd number. So the Gemara says, why? That's not really a proof that you say he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Eimer de shamas le Rabbi Yehuda, but Sanhedrin gdola. You know, it's one thing you find that Rabbi Yehuda says that you can have an even number by the Sanhedrin gdola. Because after all, the Pasuk flat out says, Hashem tells Moshe, Esfali Shivimish Mizikne Yisrael, take 70. And you have other Pesukim that refer to the 70 members of the Beis Din. So we don't really have the ability to say, on the basis of logic, that we should add a 71st. But that would only be by the Sanhedrin Gdola. Where do you ever find that Rabbi Yehuda would say the same kind of thing by other kinds of based in of 3 or of 23? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that because there the pasuk doesn't say in so many words the number of dayanim in it, therefore you can have an therefore you therefore you always have to have an odd number. The chi tema loishna, you're going to answer according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no difference. And according to him, a beis din can always be an even number. The same way the Sanhedrin Gdola can be 70, the same way a lower beis din can be 22 or whatever. But is that so? So no. V'hotnan, later on in our Mishnah, we said smichas zkenim, when the zkenim lean, when members of the beis din lean their hands on the parahelam davar shel tzibur before the korban is brought, v'arifas egla, and when they do the ceremony of egla arufa, v'shloisha, divrei Reb Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you need 3 of the dayanim to be there for that. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says 5. Ve'amrinan, and we explain later in the parak my time at Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get 5 from? So because the pasuk says about the par halam davar shel tzibur, it says v'samchu. It says they should lean their hands. So v'samchu being a plural means shnayim, means 2. It could mean more than 2, of course, but tafasta merubaloi tafasta. So 2 from the word v'samchu, ziknei shnayim, when it says the elders also in the plural means another 2. So therefore, so you have 4, the ein based in shokel, and you can't have an even numbered based in, so 4 is not enough. Therefore, you need to add 1, harei kan chamisha, and there's your 5. Now, of course, I mean, in this case, we're not talking about that, Now, Tosfos elsewhere points out, I mean, you know, the whole reason for an odd-numbered beis din is so they don't have a deadlock. When it comes to the smicha skenim, you don't need that. They're not arguing whether to lean their hands on the korban or not. Nevertheless, the idea is once the Torah is saying that whenever the Torah is saying that you need a beis din, that you need enough skenim to constitute a beis din, then the rule of a beis din is going to be that you need an odd number. And the fact is, also Tosfos points out, this is all a Tosfos in Yevamos, there is actually a machloikas in the Gemara Chagiga. What does smicha mean? Does it mean just putting your hands on the animal, or does it mean leaning on it? So they may have a machloikas on that, and they may need to decide that on the spot, and therefore they need an odd number. In any case, the point is that we see that Rabbi Yehuda always holds you need an odd number. So Rabbi Yehuda may hold by the Sanhedrin Gdola that you have an even number, especially because there the Torah says the number 70, and we don't have the ability, based on our own logic, to add a 71st. Later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to explain that wait a minute, isn't Moshe Rabbeinu the 71st? And the Gemara is going to explain that no, Moshe is there because the Shechina rested on the 70 Skenim and Parshas Baal Oista, not because he needs to be the 71st member of the Beis Din. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could say that point when it comes to the Beis Din HaGadol of 70, that you need that according to him, you need only 70. But you see that he clearly says that with lesser Bate Dinim, you do need an odd number. So why doesn't Rabbi Yoshia hold like that as well? So, where does Rabbi Yoshia get to say differently, to say that in fact you could conceivably have an even number, and therefore that the Torah has to clearly say Elikim 3 times to make it an odd number? So the answer is Rabbi Yoshia different from Rabbi Yehuda. There the answer is exactly that. Rabbi Yoshia goes beyond Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda b'Sanhedrin Gdola who delaslay. Rabbi Yehuda would hold only by the Sanhedrin Gdola, do you not need an odd number? But he would hold by other batidinim, you do need an odd number. But Rabbi Yoshia says the same thing as you find by the Sanhedrin Gdola, he would say by every other base din, you don't need an odd number. So fine, you have a three-way machlokas about it. The Chachamim hold you always need an odd number. Rabbi Yehuda holds you always need an odd number except by the Beis Din HaGadol. And Rabbi Yoshi would say it's always fine to have an even number. And therefore, over here, if the Torah had only said twice Elikim, then it would mean you only need two Dayanim. Once it says a third time, means you need a third Dayan as well. All right, the Gemara asks, Ve'elahai lintos mai ovidle. Nu, so what is Rabbi Yoshi doing with the word lintos? Before we said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosher, Rabbi Yisrael Glili had said that the word lintos teaches us that you always have to have a base din that can incline in one direction or another, namely that's an odd number. And the answer is mukim lo b'dinin nefashis. Rabbi Yoshia would say that that's referring to dinin nefashis. As we learned in the Mishnah, you always need to have, you need a super majority, a majority of at least two, in order to convict the guy. So there you need an odd number of people on the base din. In other words, the idea is, Tosfos explains, the Pasuk is saying, again, as we learned in the Mishnah, that you can't have a majority of one and convict the guy. You need at least a majority of two in order to convict him. And that would imply, that itself would imply that you could have had, an even numbered based in, but we're saying that no, you need to have an odd number. We learn that from the word lintos. But when it comes to dinim mamonis, no, you might say it's fine to have an even number, because after all, in dinim mamonis, you only need a majority of one in order to convict, in order to make the guy liable to pay. And therefore, we can say that with dinim mamonis, you could have an even number, and therefore, he needs the extra elikim to tell us that not. Well, the Gemara asks Elohad Tanan, what about though? We learn later on in the Masechta that when you have a case of dinim omenus, so a based in of three, shnayim omim zakai ve'echad omim chayev, if the based in disagrees and two of them say that he's not liable to pay, and one of them says he is chayev zakai, then we exempt him and he's potter from paying. And the other way around, if two of them say he's chayev and one of them says he's zakai, then chayev, then we obligate him to pay, because either way we go according to the majority. Name it, like Rabbi Yoshia. Would that mean that Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yoshia? Because according to him, in other words, like this, if we're saying, according to him, that midaraisa would have been fine by dinim mominus to have an even number, then that means, according to him, we're saying only when the pasuk specifies that you need three, do you need three? Because we learn from the three times Elikim, and again, we're saying that applies to all dinim mamonis. Well, according to him, maybe it should require a unanimous verdict of all three of them. Otherwise, you don't have three dayanim saying that he's chayev. So the fact that we're saying that we do go according to the majority seems to imply, if we say that that's according to Rabbi Yoshia, that would mean even he would agree that in dinim mamonis it would have been enough to have an even number, and we put in an odd number so that to begin with we have to have an odd number minat Torah so that it's not deadlocked. Meaning, in other words, that minat Torah we only need a majority of one. So if we say that, it would come out that according to Rabbi Yoshia, you would have to have not only a base din of three, but it would actually have to be that all three of them agree. Once we're learning the third one from a posit, rather than because of the concept of noita, then maybe it means all three of them have to agree. So the Gemara says, no, I feel the tamer of Yoshia. That Mishnah, you could say, goes even according to Rabbi Yoshia. Because Rabbi Yoshia will say that you can make a kavachomer to say that you go according to the majority from dinin nefashis. Ma dinin nefashis tachamiri. Ma dach dinin nefashis, which are much more strict. Omer rachmana zil basar ruba. And still the Torah tells us you go according to the roiv. Dinim mamonis, like Kol Shekhen, how much more so by dinim mamonis that you can go according to the roiv and you don't need a unanimous verdict of Beis Din. So even if we say that the pasuk is implying for us that you need three dayanim rather than just deriving from the word lintos that you need the third in order not to have an odd number, then nevertheless you can learn from a kavachomer that it's fine to follow the roiv. Okay, so therefore, so that's that then. So that's so we have so therefore, according to Rabbi Yoshia, so according to Rabbi Yoshia, then we're not learning from Lintos that you always need an odd number of Beis Din. He's saying by Dinin, we learn that we use for Dinin Nefoshes to teach us that you need an odd number of Beis Din. For Dinin Mominus, unless the Pasuk specifies, then you could get away with an even numbered Beis Din, and only because the Pasuk specifies otherwise do you not. But once the Pasuk specifies it, then a Kavah Chomer tells us that it's fine to. Do, that it's fine to just follow the majority rather than having to have a unanimous verdict based in. Okay, so we'll continue with that topic tomorrow, Motzei Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, and discuss more about the composition of a based in and about how we learn and about the details of how we learn that.
Yeshikayach.